Good evening and welcome back. It's In the Know, brought to you by The Racing Post. And it's official, summer is over. But don't you worry about it. We've got plenty of top-class action coming up over the autumn, of course. It's a whole new season, practically. And we've already had 2 days of Donny to get to the bottom of Town Moor. And we've still got two more to go. Of course, Saturday's big event is the final classic of the season, the St. Ledger. Well, we've got a couple of... How many ledgers do you want? Because we've got another one as well coming up this weekend. We've got big action over in Ireland, Leopardstown and the Curragh. We've got Doncaster. And look, I'm sure you'll rustle something else up elsewhere as well with the likes of Chester and it's France, it's Hong Kong, you name it. Australia, maybe? I don't know. Maybe you're a globe-trotting punter. I don't know. But we are going to be focusing on Doncaster and Leopardstown for tomorrow, and then we'll be back tomorrow night as well, because we were quite frankly, you fair enough, you were absolutely fair enough to say that on a fantastic weekend we do give the Irish racing short shrift. So we'll be back tomorrow night for a preview of Sunday's action as well. What more do you want? We are live and interactive, so hello to Destiny Sounds, the Mapper 64, to Tommy Daniels, to Dean Partridge, and to everyone else watching at home. Get involved in the chat, let us know what you fancy. If you really fancy one strongly, put it in capital letters so I can read it amongst all the arguments amongst yourselves. So two nights to go, and let's hope we can pick up a winner or two. A baptism of fire for a new panellist tonight as well. Group races up and down the weekend. A man who's telling me just off air that he's more used to deciphering class sixes at Wolverhampton. Callum Helliwell, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on. I really appreciate the shirt. So that was the main thing that I came here thinking. I first saw you in the Racing Post Towers offices and I've gone, okay, no shirt on, just a t-shirt. I thought I was overdressed. And then you've come out and pulled out the corduroy number.
I had to meet your level, mate. That evidently is. But look, like you said, it's a group weekend, so you've got to make an effort. Sky Sports Racing, best known for travelling up and down the country. Plenty of times to Dunstall Park, of course.
Absolutely.
What's your Doncaster experience been?
Actually, weirdly, considering that I was born in the southeast of England, first race course I ever went to. My dad took me racing. I was horse mad. And he took me to Doncaster and he said, Callum, we're going to go racing and we're going to have a good time. And
why Donny then?
He was doing a visit. So he travelled all over the country doing his work and he was doing a client visit at that time. And he said, we've got some time to kill, summer holidays. Let's go to Doncaster. And I had already had the bug before then. I think I was watching the morning line at about 7 years old. So at the ripe old age of eight, I went racing and I went to Sunny Donny. Found no winners, but had the best time of my life and thought, this is what I want to do. And I wanted to be a jockey. And then Mother Nature decided, maybe not.
Well, I mean, we neither of us, you've got the slightly too tall, I'm slightly too wide, but it's fine. It's fine. These things happen. What have we made of 2 days of Donny so far?
Tricky. Yep. Trickier than I thought. I think the Flying Childers today kind of summed up the entire meeting, to be honest. I was very confident about Lady Iman. I saw, obviously, the Nunthorpe's taken a big chunk out of her and she clearly isn't the same horse that she showed earlier on this season. But I must admit, I thought the winners have been impressive and those horses that have won well. And although they're not favourites aren't winning every race, we're not seeing big price upsets left, right and centre. So
well,
the form is
track.
Coming.
It's a fair track. It's just that it's, like I said, I think you have your early season form, which kind of gets you to Royal Ascot, and then the baton is passed, which gets you through Newmarket and Goodwood and York, and then the baton is passed again, and now we're into those autumn seasons. So I think Lady Iman, I mean, it's possible. She might have been over the top going into the Nunthorpe, who knows, but clearly that's broken her. But yeah, the new kids on the block are coming to the fore. As for today... the winner of the Flying Scotsman, Avicenna. I mean, one run, one win, slow pace, big horse, comes here next time out and just got up on the line today. So we're seeing some nice types.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the trainers that I speak to up and down the country, mainly at these low grade meetings at Wolverhampton, it's always nice to hear from them. Jim Boyle being a prime example is an absolute flying machine he had at Newbury. Mm. I spoke to him about his 2-year-olds and he basically said, look, we haven't even let our best ones out yet. You've got a big string and a massive yard, you're able to sort of throw out some 2-year-olds nice and early. But a lot of the other trainers, they've got to be more patient because the horses that they're buying aren't as precocious. They're more 2 to 3. And I think this is where we're going to see the talent come through when you get these horses that are just growing growing and maturing. And this is my favourite time of year. These two-year-old races on a bit of rain-softened ground just before we get jumping. I think it's a lovely time of year, and I think we see some real class horses, like Autumn Stakes, one of my favourite races of the year.
Yeah, you're right. It does start to get... I feel like in those the early season exchanges, like I said, I do get a bit tired of clicking on sales, 250 grand, breeze up, and thinking, okay, right, there's five of those in this race. Yeah. So it's a bit of difference. Tom Siegel is at home, ready and raring to go for a big Saturday. But I like Donny as a track. Like I said, it's big, it's galloping, it's fair, bit of juice in the ground, but not too much. What's not to like?
Yeah, love Donny Ross. All the punting tracks in the country, I think Donny's one of the three, probably. Love it. I think it's a great track. Totally fair. Never get trouble in running. That's the best thing about it. Give me Donny every day. You can have your Goodwoods and your Chesters and your places where it's equine bingo. Not Donny. Best horse wins nearly all the time. Love it. I think it's a great track.
Yeah.
And by the way, you said you were too rotund to be a jockey and Callum was too tall. I'm both.
Yeah. You do have the combination of those two, Tom. To be fair, look, that opportunity's passed us all by, isn't it? But,
there's still a Newmarket plate. There's still time, I believe. I'm going to don some colours at some point and get a ride under rules.
I mean, under rules is a bit strong, but I think the charity races is up to... Like I said, if we can get a... We can get a team together.
Yeah, it's got to be done.
Nowhere near an equine ever.
No, well, again, you do have to leave the house, Tom, to do the charity race. That's the issue. As for today, though, I mean, look, we had some old favourites again: Horses for Courses, Sweet William, Revival Power. A Tim East to be 2-year-old burning up a race like that from the front. We not the first and probably not the last time we'll see that. And Cape Flora, of course, one of your horses to take out of York. I mean, what a finish that was.
Yeah, it was a good finish. I thought, surprise, she drifted massively, didn't she? I didn't expect her to. Would have definitely backed her if I'd known she was going to be 11 or 2 or whatever it was, but it was too busy working to realise she drifted so much. I thought Pendragon was really an interesting horse that ran today. The 3-year-old that was second in the Doncaster Cup, he was far too keen, chased a really strong pace. Sunway, who he sort of chased along for a long way, finished out with the ambulance, didn't he? So, well, I thought that was a massive run from him to stick on into second, a long way clear of some decent horses. I'd be very interested in him going forward. I don't know if he's going to run in the Cesaro, which, if he does, he's got a big chance.
Yeah. Well, again, I mean,
back in the day, Ross, do you remember? You two were probably way too young, but when I was...
Tell us about the war.
Do you remember, hallelujah, 2001. She won the Doncaster Cup at about 25-1. She was at, 16-1. She was a huge price. She had much more to find than Pendragon. I think she was rated about 85. And she beat some of the best stayers around in those days. You know, Royal Rebel, a Gold Cup winner. You know, she absolutely mullered them in the Doncaster Cup, went to the Cesaro, which is a really short price favourite, and got injured and never raced again during the race. So bad things can happen, but Pendragon's got a similar profile to her, and he'd be a big player in the stays.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, to be fair, I mean, in all seriousness, 2001 was literally the year before, 17.
You were born.
A year before I was born, yeah, I wish.
I was five?
You were five, yeah, there you go. See, like, yeah, it's a we're going back a bit. But the Samark of old seems to have come back to the table this year in particular. I mean, he's just dropped one back to 10 furlongs at Sandown after, you know, running in staying races that's hacked up. So, Pendragon, big runner today. Right, let's get ready for tomorrow, shall we? Like I said, hello to the chat. I did say put what you fancy in capital letters, and Scotty Rudds has said, Karmas wins the St. Ledger. Karmas, 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 Karmas. Good evening, Ross and gang. Karmas wins the St. Ledger. So,
do you reckon he thinks Karmas wins the St. Ledger?
I think he's back Scandinavia, personally, but you never know. So keep him coming. Keep him coming tomorrow, and we'll be getting stuck in after this. All right, then. Let's get stuck into Saturday, shall we? Starting off at Doncaster with the first race of the day, the 1:15. A mile handicap here, 15 of them line up. And Treble T, 9-4. Hawksbill, 7-1. Galleron, 7-1. Cash, 8-1. Great Chieftain, 17-2. Point of Contact is 17-2. Bo Pedro, 10s. Urban Sprawl, 14s. And then bigger the rest. Like I said, there are 15 runners here. You're going to be unfortunate if you're not back in each way four places with bookies, though. But we do have a short price favourite here in the shape of Treble T. Rock solid form in two handicaps so far behind two very well handicapped horses. Yarder in form as well, and of course a four timer for the jockey today in the shape of Usher Murphy as well. So it's no surprise to see Treble T strong at the top of the market. But Callum, we were talking about this race off air, and in particular, remember this race last year where Ray Sherry had a runner in Treasure Time, took off the back of a York win, clearly had a really strong chance. He thought big field, mile handicap, and Johan popped out, set a steady pace and made all. And it's not the first time, and it won't be the last, that kind of thing's happened. And we were going through this race and thinking, where's the pace?
There is none. There simply is not much pace at all. We're trying to find horses with pace, but there's a couple in here who've changed trainers recently and their tactics might change what we've normally seen. The thing for me about Johan was I think Johan was a much better horse than what we're going to see quality-wise in this competition today, tomorrow, I should say. There are horses in here who are not as good as a 105-rated Johan, and three-year-olds have an unbelievable record in this race, and I would be very, very tempted to go with a three-year-old. Treble T isn't the pick for me. I can totally understand why. And Oshie Murphy, love him or hate him, the man is riding out of his skin. I saw him at Lingfield, and he had, I think, seven on the card that day a week ago. And the first four didn't come in, and then when the next one came through, he just bang, bang, bang. And he's just clearly riding at the top of his game right now. And if he were with the favourite, I think you've got the right jockey on board.
In terms of value, though, I mean, and you said three-year-olds, there are a selection of alternatives. Hawksbill keeps rattling the crossbar. Principality's in and out, but he's talented. Wild Nature switched trainer to Ed Bethel, who's always to be respected.
Could have a big day at Bethel. Really do. There's a couple that we talk about throughout the card that he trains, and there's a really interesting one from Hong Kong that we'll mention later on. I think that he could have a very big day. For me personally, Hawksbill is going to be the pick. I think the gelding operation has changed the thing, as you imagine, the cruelest cut of all, but has certainly released a new level of ability in him. That Ascot run after the first run gelded wrong side of the track. Back-to-back second place efforts have been really good. The cheek pieces are on. He clearly needs all the help he can get, but I think he's trending in the right direction. A huge fan of Hugo Palmer. I like another one of his later on in the card as well.
What a season he's having. I mean, again, we were talking about, look, there's obviously, there are a few trainers who have really hit their stride this year. Hugo Palmer, Ed Walker is another one. Consistency was kind of Hugo Palmer's problem. He'd have bursts of winners and then they'd go quiet again. But this year, it's been every month pretty much.
It's taken someone to have faith in him. I really do believe the change up to Michael Owen Stables and everything that they've got going there, that it doesn't seem to just be a Chester plaything anymore. I'm at Chester tomorrow and they've certainly got chances, but it feels like they're spreading their wings and they've got the quality of horse. Seagull's 11, what a performance that was at Goodwood. And I mean, the fact that they said, oh yeah, we're going to go to Australia. Straight away. These are not trainers we often think. William Haggis is the guy that takes horses to Australia, but now we've got Hugo doing the same thing. And I love it. The more people that are training top-level horses and the bigger the spread, I think the better it is for punters, the better it is for broadcasters, and the better it is for a sport as a whole.
Yeah, so Hawksbill then, 7-1. Form Frank today as well. Crown Board, who finished sixth in that Chester race, won at Sandown about an hour ago, I think. So, Hawksbill almost like one of those sort of place pot bankers, Tom. But yeah, again, I was kind of looking down the card and I was thinking, well, if there's only really Urban Sprawl, I can see who's a guaranteed front runner in here. And again, we talked that you assume the big field handicaps are going to be run at a good clip, but they aren't always.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get involved in that stuff, Ross. You know that with me. As soon as I start thinking these things are going to happen, exactly the opposite happens. So I keep all tactics out of my calculations. I think Ocean Murphy could easily go forward. If there's one jockey that reads races better than others, it's him. So if he thinks there's no pace, I mean, he did it on Sunway, I know not to great effect today, but that's he reads races better than anyone else, I think. And so he could go forward. Tolstoy last year too hard and made the running in the race. I wouldn't be right ruling out that there's a strong pace in this. I just don't know. So I'm not going to worry about that. I thought my old friend Galeron was going to run well, Rob. He's a five-year-old. He's fourth in the Guineas, believe it or not, as everyone well knows. Yeah. I just thought he ran well at Sandown last time in a race where it was hard to come from the back. And I think his two best runs have been at Doncaster. I think he's 8 or 9 pounds lower than when he was fourth in the Lincoln at the start of the season. Mm. Bit of give in the ground. It wasn't Charlie Hills has a very good record at Doncaster. Horses going well. Bob Marley nearly won the last race today. Mm-hmm. I'd give him a shot. I think he's going to run his best race of the season. And if that's good, if one of the three-year-olds are too good for him, we're all well and good. But whatever he was, he's 7-1 now, but he's a bit bigger than that. I thought he'd run well.
Yeah, no, fair enough. And I thought that Sandown race was a pretty good one for the grade as well. So, yeah, he's 7-1. He was also a big fourth, I think, in a sales race as a two-year-old as well. Charlie Hills, Bob Marley went close, and he had a winner today as well elsewhere at Salisbury as well. So maybe he's, again, another trainer who's going to start hitting the ground running in the autumn. If the pace isn't an absolute dawdle, I like Great Chieftain's profile. I love the way this horse finishes his races in these big field handicaps. Had a break since Haydock. Perfectly reasonable run behind Tribal Chief at Goodwood last time out, and he's just very strong at the back end of his races, and this galloping track mile should be absolutely ideal for him. So if it isn't a crawl, I thought Great Chieftain had a little bit of a chance. As for those at home, what do we got? Is Urban Sprawl drawn well? I don't know, Simon. I'll tell you after a furlong, depending on where he goes with that. Eden says surely Galeron's had too many chances already. That's about it in terms of opinions.
It'll be interesting if O'Sheen does go hard, because he comes out of 13 on Treble T, and we're just hearing someone asking about Urban Sprawl. He comes out of 1. So they're going to be on either side of the track. You imagine they'll go into two different groups. And when they start doing that, I'm immediately looking at where's the quality. Yeah. And I know Tom doesn't want to talk tactics, but that's when I start panicking and thinking, OK, who's short enough in the betting that's going to be drawn high? Because I want to be near Treble T. I certainly imagine that if there is no pace, as Tom mentioned, O'Sheen will be happy to make it. I want to be near him. I don't want to be anywhere. I don't want to be drawn low if the high-drawn horse is going to try and make the running.
Yeah, that is fair. And again, it does tend to... It's amazing how often jockeys are sort of magnetised towards the fancied runners, isn't it? So, OK, that's the opener at Doncaster tomorrow. The Champagne Stakes up next, a small field, as is sort of traditional these days in the Champagne Stakes. Just the five of them lining up at Oxygen, a 6-4 favourite here. Guan is 15-8. Cape Orator, 9-2. Puerto Rico is 10-1. Cape Ashizori is 12-1. Five runners, but two horses dominating the betting. But I feel like I say this every year, almost those exact words, Tom. Small field, two horses dominating the betting in the Champagne Stakes. And, how often does, the really strongly fancied one actually win? Quite rarely these days. It can be a funny old race. It was even more of a funny old race last year because of antics before the start as well. You've got, again, a classic conundrum as well. You've got the horse who's won twice, once in much higher company in Gowan, but not by that far. And then you've got Oxygon, who looked wildly impressive, obviously in a much weaker race and is stepping up severely in grade here today. And of course, like I said, you can't really rule any of the three out either. What did you think of this?
Oh dear, way too hard, Ross. I like all of them. That's the weird thing about it. Some races, you go through loads of races and you think, I don't like that one. I really got nothing bad to say about any of these. I thought Oxygen was wildly impressive at wherever he ran last time. Time was excellent. Mm-hmm. Really, really good time figure, I thought. Go on, we all remember about going on, go on, go on, go on, whatever we called it, at York. He was good. I think the form beating Italy is strong. Following the Chaldean route, didn't he come here after?
He did.
Following exactly the same Chaldean route. Cape Orator looked good. Puerto Rico's got some good back form, in proper races. And what was not to like about the Cape?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Cape Acessories, but I mean, beat what? Five horses at Ayr, four of them have come out and won.
Strongest form line, I would argue, in the race. And you talk about winners coming out of it. I understand they're not winning at the same level as some of the horses that were in the Acom, but it is worth noting that he beat a lot of horses that went on to win since.
It's rock solid. And again, horses for courses, but also trainers for tracks as well, to a certain extent. And I do, you know, the Quins like to send a good one to Ayr, the Wow Signal being the most obvious example. But whether I want to back a 6-4 shot in a race where I don't necessarily not fancy any of them. The only thing I would say is you'd have to go back a decade to find a horse that won this race, Tom, that wasn't tested in Black Tie Company before. And it just is a different... I do think having a taste of that test does help. And Oxagon is having his first taste.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. A short bit of experience against good horses probably helps, you know, any time. I remember when you were running in your three-legged race at school, Ross, when you got up against the speedster, you improved for racing against him rather than dotting up against all the fatties, didn't you? So I think that's undoubtedly the case. I still think Oxagon might win, actually. I was really taken with him. I thought the time was good. He just looked good. He's by Frankel. He's got a bit of class about him, hasn't he? I think he might end up being a really, really top horse. So I'm not surprised to see him favourite. I wouldn't back him at 6-4 for the reasons you outlined, but I do like him. I just like him as an individual, as a horse, and I think going forward it's going to be pretty good.
All right then, Oxagon 6-4. I did have a look at horses with an identical profile. 2-year-olds who'd won by 7 lengths or more on their second start, so not sort of first time out flashing the pans, and then went into group races next time out. 14 from 66, 21% strike rate, 0.97 versus actual versus expected. Because sometimes I think the ones who win first time out and you go, wow, they then come for a race like this and it's different. But at least
they've learned nothing as well. Yeah. When you bolt up first time out, you don't learn a thing. You go out, you do your thing. It's just you're doing work at home without a work partner.
Yeah, exactly. But Oxagon at least has had that experience at Newmarket in a good race and then built on that at Sandown. So there is a possibility that he just keeps building. But what did you like in this?
Well, I think the first thing I wanted to do was kind of break down a couple of facts in the race. We've not had a favourite win this since 2019.
Yep.
Four of the last five were making their third career start. Aidan O'Brien hasn't won this since 2017. Mm. Only sends one. So that would be, for me, interesting that he didn't send Italy here. I thought that was...
Well, but also, he's got home fixtures this weekend, doesn't
exactly.
he? So the,
they
it's
can,
the
they
second
can spread
string.
That team around, can't they? And they are all over the place. I thought Gawain in this, to be perfectly honest. I saw him make his debut. He ran really nicely. He looked very backward in the parade ring. Chapman was down at Newbury when he made his debut. And they spoke to Connections afterwards, and they all said he's going to come on leaps and bounds for that run. What he then did at York, I thought was hugely, hugely impressive and was the best level of form we've seen. I would have loved it if Sabah Desert came here. I knew we'd entered. I think it would have been a really good thing to see the Sabah Desert form line up with him, bearing in mind they both finished ahead of Italy with varying circumstances. But without Sabah Desert, I was happy to take on the favourite here. I think Gawain is a proper horse. Look, changed ownership now. I imagine Zhang Chae Shang has paid a lot of money for him. Change of colour. Can you imagine if you one of the owners there? Those weren't like a syndicate of owners. It was a small minority guy who has quite a bit of cash, I imagine. But for them to change hands is a big positive. And I think he's only going to improve, and he is the type to get better. Makes his third career start. Cape Orator is the one that scares me the most.
Yeah, we don't. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to figure out. Obviously, I mean, that Newbury form on debut, that humidity race is insane. I mean, I'm pretty sure the hottest form of the season in terms of subsequent winners for 2-year-olds. And, you know, dotted up at Deauville, it is hard to transfer that form, especially in sort of valuable sales races and whatnot, different ground. But this is Rafe Beckett season.
And it was the style of which he did it as well. Like, he hit the line hard, which shocked me, because if you watch him at about the two pole, he looks like he's in a bit of trouble. Mm. He hits the front and he doesn't just kind of idle and sidle his way to the line. He absolutely hammers through the tape. And he galloped out well. There was a lot of positive communication. If you watch the jockey's face, I can't remember who was on him at the time.
Hector Crouch's
face, he's beaming from ear to ear.
Well, he was clearly, like you said, teaching him something. He was teaching him, like, let's stride out, let's see what you've got. under the bonnet.
And he did hit the line very, very hard. And that for me was, if I was to kind of go where the value, it's hard to find a value in a five-runner race, but I think Cape Orator probably offers you the value. But for me, the winner, I think, is Gawan, who I just think is just going to take another step forward here.
Okay, yeah. Gawan then, 15-8 shot for Andrew Balding and PJ McDonald. And again, Andrew Balding did win this with Chaldean. As for the chat, Simon Temple says, I give up on Puerto Rico. I wouldn't, Simon. It's beautiful. You should try. You should go there. It's a lovely place. Oxygen shorter than Gawan, says Eden. Again, people getting attracted to. I do think the Murphy factor today, though, is having an impact on these markets. And the Quinn horse is a brother to the Wow Signal, says PM Ray. So again, yeah, they wouldn't entirely rule out any of these, but it is Gawan for Callum and for you, Tom.
Oxygen, I think, will win that.
All right, okay, Oxygen. It's perfect, isn't it? Won by 8 lengths.
The second is one as well. The Godolphin horse he beat went on to win. So that's another positive. It's not like he beat a bunch of trees, but for me, I'd rather have a hardened group performer, pattern race performer who's gone on and won in the style that he did. I do think Italy is probably quite a nice horse. I know he's let down punters on two consecutive occasions now, but he's not been beaten far, and the horses that beat him, I think, are quite good. And again, just disappointing Sabah Desert isn't here. I thought that would have made this race absolutely perfect.
All right. Right, let's rattle on then to the Portland, where they'll be rattling on, that's for sure. 5.5 furlongs. Again, the quintessential, he didn't quite get home over six, but he's not quite quick enough for five race. But it does tend to go to pretty speedy horses. That 0.5 furlong, it doesn't necessarily make that much of an impact, because you've got your likes of your Stone of Destiny and your American Affair and an Oxted and a Moment of Madness a few years ago. You know, you still need to have some pure speed about you to win this. Air Force One is 5-1 favourite here. Addison Gray 7-1. Trefor 7-1. Jordan Electric's 10-1. Eternal Sunshine is 11-1 with Jacajaro. Rosario is 12 with 5,000-1. And then bigger prices are the horses like Diablo Rojo, who's mainly down in grade here. Venture Capital, who keeps hitting the crossbar but is ultra consistent. Rhythm and Hooves, who I think has got a big chance for Robert Cowell and Billy Lothnane. Aberama Gold, again, the head doesn't fancy him, but the heart likes him a lot. And there are plenty of others in here as well. But it is a big field sprint handicap, of course. But we're talking about Yards having a good season. Jeff Aldroyd. If you'd said to me at the start of the season, Jeff Aldroyd's going to have a crack in the year, I'd have said, why are you ringing me out of the blue to tell me that?
If you told me how many horses did Jeff Aldroyd train, I'd be like, I'd need to check that up, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd need to call Jeff. I would need to speak to him in person to find out how many he's got on that yard. But flying along.
He's loving it. And Air Force One, I mean, look, those York handicaps as well are very difficult to win. I'm not saying this is any easier. But he's run two blinders. They put the blinkers on for the first time here. PJ's getting a third, well, fourth crack at him, but a third in the row. You can see why he's favourite coming off the back of it. He only ran 6 days ago. But I don't know, there's loads in here, isn't there?
Yeah, absolute tons. 3-year-old shocking record in this one. One win in the last 10 years. Happy to miss that out. I think you need some quality. Look at last year's race. I mean, what a race it was last year. I mean, you had four coming across the line, all taking each other on. But yeah, I think you need to have a little bit of quality about you. I was drawn towards Apollo One, the top horse. Unlucky beating a nose here last year. Comes here a pound lower than that. Look, he doesn't know how much weight's on his back, but I think you have to just draw a line through the run and the hopeful, and hopefully he can return to some level of form here.
He's
a horse that's often more unlucky than he is good, but I think Peter Shire-Lambus knows what he's doing. He's been running him in some really good races off top weight all the way through, and it seems like there seems to have been a plan to come back to here, and I'm hoping that a return to this venue could see him do well. I also, at a massive, massive price, Roman Dragon, for me, one of the each-way bets of the day. I think he's got an... If he can repeat what he did last time, where he's probably one of the biggest eye-catchers in that contest, coming on his own, down the stand side, I do think he'll be right bang up there. He loves Chester. Obviously, it's not Chester today. He absolutely loved being on the Rudy. But I do think he's a lovely, lovely horse who is doing things the right way, is hitting the line hard, going for connections who we know do well at these type of meetings, and comes here off a nice mark. And I think if there was one of the big, I think with 33s in places, I think that's a lovely each way play.
Yeah, he's a funny one because, like I said, he spends most of his time rattling around Chester. He's got a shocking record on straight tracks, but of course it did seem it was something different last time out.
I did think,
yeah, and he like you said, he did finish strongly. I don't know. Like I said, I had to go back and watch it again and think I can't be Roman Dragon, but yeah. The problem with him is you've tipped up two horses there with completely contrasting profiles. In the sense that Roman Dragon is off 100, Apollo One's actually probably the best handicapped he's been for quite a while.
I think they've been running him in these really hard races to get him handicapped. Yeah. I do believe that Peter Jarrett Lambert has said, they ran him in Ascot off top weight in the Get It race. Yeah. And he was bang there for a very, very long way. And I think that there's been a reason they're trying him. They've not run him in a race that's winnable, and they've come back to this venue. Maybe they got touched off by a nose last time, didn't get the run of the race, and they're thinking, we're coming back here and we're getting what's ours. And I do believe Apollo One will be absolutely bang on the door to run a big race here, because Connections would have marked this out. I don't think they were running in silly races that he's been running in on for no reason at all.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, track form, appreciates the conditions as well, and very well handicapped. Apollo One is, where is he? He's about 14 to 1 shot, isn't he, Apollo One?
But yeah, around that mark, yeah.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, so we're going with experience, basically, here in the Portland. Unless you're going to tell us something different, Tom, but is it time for the old boys, or are we going to have a youngster upset the apple cart?
I don't know. No, I'm not on the. It's not one of the youngsters, really. I'm not on the really, really old boys. You know me, Ross. I don't like the 9 year olds and whatever. But Jordan Electrics must have a chance. He ran really well at York. I found this one of those races where I didn't fancy anything. I quite like races where you don't fancy anything, because you sort of think, well, maybe if I don't fancy anything at all, then there's going to be something at big prices you can have a crack at. With the exception being Air Force One, who I think has a very, very big chance. I thought he should have won at York last week. I thought he got a bit unlucky, got knocked out of his stride just when he was making his challenge. I think he's the one to beat. But when you don't fancy anything, I revert to my long experience of watching Portlands, and quite often something up the stands rails wins it. Now, I'm not a draw guy at all, as you well know, but I sometimes think the faster ground is up the stands rail, and the reason is all week they never use it. And you get to the Portland, and all of a sudden you find that being up the stands rails good. And as we saw when they did use it, Revival Power was drawn 11 of 11, and he won, whatever. So I just thought, maybe something up the stands rail might win. The obvious one there is Jordan Electrics from stall 20, because I think he's a pace setter down there. But I thought the old boy, one of your favourites, Ross, 5,000 to 1, had a chance. He is Mr. Sand, isn't he? Callum's probably seen him 450
pounds. Yeah, yeah. Love the boy. Love the boy.
Almost exclusively. Yeah, almost exclusively tapped to Sky Sports racing.
It's what a legend. What a legend.
It's your domain.
Either dude, and he sticks on a SSR race day and comes to Doncaster. They know what they're doing.
They do.
We love to see it.
They clearly do. But to be fair, he's very similar. You know, Stone of Destiny, you could have said similar
What I said. That's exactly what I wrote in my column today. He's very, very similar to Stone of Destiny. He didn't run badly in the Great St. Wilfrid last time. I think he was 8th. I think he's 10 pounds lower on turf. He's got Warren Fentiman taking 5 pounds extra off. He's drawn next to Jordan Electrics. Just thought he's one of those ones that are funny ones that could go well. It might be his day. Tim Easterby's in great form. So I thought he had it. I just thought this might be his day. I've seen this film many, many times. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where something like him comes out and wins it. He was my main choice. I also thought Rosario could go well. He has problems at the start, but Roger Teal won this with Oxted he was disqualified from winning it with Chipstead. Mm-hmm. Rosario, I think, is his main chance this time. Tom Oquan gets on. He's got a problem with the stalls. We all know that. He's a bit slow away. But there was a reason for that in the Shergar Cup. And he wasn't too badly away next time. Just a little bit tardy away at Ascot, I think it was. But I think he's got the form to win it. I think he's got the ability to win it. I think this will have been his race they've aimed at. The Teals would have aimed him at this. So they were my two, but it's a sprint handicap. So who knows? They'll probably win in trap one now.
Yeah, well, I mean, I hope not trap one, but trap two might be nice, because I do think Rhythm and Hooves has got a squeak. Well, he's got more than a squeak. I mean, he's run twice at the track. He's won once. Weirdly, he won over 6 furlongs, beating loads of 7 furlong horses dropping back. Yeah. And he was a 5 furlong horse stepping up. Again, sometimes it just doesn't make sense, does it, racing? But he outstayed and outspeeded those horses. He then dropped. He ran over 5 here, and he just that classically. You say this, you know, you don't get trouble in running at Doncaster, but if you do. You know, it's not a great place to slam the brakes on. He ran on for 4th.
Tends to be a lot of other horses around you when you do meet that trouble, isn't it?
The ones in front of you, like I said, you lose half a length, they gain half a length, and that in 5 furlong sprints, that's huge, isn't it? But I love the way he finished his race at last time. You were saying about hitting the line hard, Newbury speed track, and he really got going in the final furlong, and he powered clear them. Billy Althane keeps the ride as well. He's a big field, big sprint handicap specialist. He's 5 years old, for marker 91. He's not far off being listed in group class.
I think that's what we're looking for, isn't it? We're looking for something that could in the future be listed at least sort of level if you're looking for something on the improve. Can I just give a shout out to one horse that I'm not going to be backing, but just completely fascinating that he's here?
Yes, yeah,
Atomic yeah. Atomic Fourth. Yeah. How on earth? What career? Yeah. What a career. Let's call him Andy Carroll. Proper journeyman. Gets everywhere. The boy started off for Kevin Ryan, I think. Went and won a couple of group races in France. Straight to Hong Kong. Take your money. Happy days. Not only does he do that, he then goes to Hong Kong to Casper Founds. Doesn't run a race.
Yep.
Changes yards and goes to Cody Moe. Now, I know no one's heard of Cody Moe, but he's an up-and-coming trainer in Hong Kong, and he's grown this horse an extra leg because he's been absolutely flying since then. He won from possibly the most uncompromising position last time. That was back in December. He now comes here off 276 days off the track. First start for Ed Bessel, yeah, and winds up in a Portland on good to soft, maybe softening ground. No idea what to make of him, but I just think it's the most fascinating runner at Doncaster on Saturday.
Well, he was supposed to run 6 days ago at Haydock as well, and he got upset in the stalls because he was probably thinking, where the hell am I? How have I ended up here after running in Hong Kong for several years? But yeah, you often see him go over there, but you very rarely see him come back.
Coming back for the same owners as well. It's like, yeah, it's almost like there's been a plan to bring this horse back. Like,
because he was in form
in Hong Kong. Like, yeah, he won 2 of his last 4, I think, over there. Comes from off the pace. They'll be cutting through him like a hot knife through butter if he can handle the stalls.
He was just, maybe he needs that Yorkshire air again. I don't know what it is. But yeah, you're right. Atomic Force, fascinating. I mean, the other one to mention that you did mention, Tom, not necessarily in fancying it, but we're talking horses, of course, at Chipstead. Like you said, lost it in the stewards' room, but again, he's starting to get very well handicapped. He's had a couple of interesting rides on his last couple of starts, but he's down 3 pounds to that Sean Levy, box 18. He's a big problem. He's 66-1 in places, and he's a proper course horse from an in-form sprint handicap trainer.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a sprint handicap. You know, Eternal Sunshine has been a complete revelation the last twice, hasn't she? I mean, she's Jim Goldie. She's a Jim Goldie special, if ever there's been one. Who knows where she'll end up?
But she's not quite at that same level as the winner last year, is she? I kind of see where they were improving too. But it's almost like, who was this winner in this? Not, did it win it last year?
The American Affair.
Yeah, yeah. American Affair was rated a little bit better than Eternal Sunshine. But I can totally understand why the Eternal Sunshine fits the same sort of bill coming into the race the same way.
It's a jovial gym special, isn't it? Jovial gym special. Right, on the chat, Carol Spinter in form will do me, Rhythm and Hooves for a small wager. Rosario looks well handicapped, says Bert and Ernie. Jack Ajaro, Bo Pedro, each way double tomorrow, says Rob Dixon, who apparently wants to give himself a heart attack because they are not...
Jack Ajaro loves getting placed, though.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Jack Ajaro and Bo Pedro are... They're not easy watchers.
No.
Put it that way. Anyway, right, let's move on to the 3 o'clock, the Park Stakes, a Group 2 here over 7 furlongs. 13 to 8 favourite Shadow of Light. 10 Bob Tony is 9 to 2. Marvelman 6 to 1. Room Service 7 to 1. King's Gamble 11s. Quinault 12 to 1. Audience 14s. East Hampton 16 to 1. And then we've got Zoom Zoom, Devil's Point, and Zabil Al Kabir. To be fair, all three of those mentioned are interesting for completely different reasons. But we have a 3-year-old trained by Charlie Appleby in the shape of Shadow of Light at the top of the betting, who this time last year was in cracking form in Group 1 company and surely was on everyone's lips for Guinea's glory and those kind of races this year. But this is a drop in grade and his easiest task for quite a while, Tom. But, you know, 13 to 8, I guess. And these 7 furlong races can be quite... quite interesting, to say the least. The one at York a few weeks ago, of course, was as well. But I've been waiting 105 days to see 10 Bob Tony hit the track. I've had my money refunded twice. Let's hope it's third time lucky for Ed Walker and Kieran Schumacher, because I think this race is absolutely bang on for him. Nice galloping track at Donny. But, yeah, what did you like?
I didn't really like anything, Ross, if truth be told, as a bet. Because I think Shadow of Light might be a different class, and therefore I don't like betting in races where, you know, I really can't. You know, he might be a short price, but even you know, he's dual Group One winner. He's third in a Guineas. Wasn't too bad a run the next twice either. I mean, people say, oh, he's had enough. I'm a bit bored of Shadow of Light. He wasn't being very far in Group Ones. 10 Bob Tony is a danger for sure. For sure, he's getting better, and he was impressive at Haydock on his comeback run. He's waited for the ground. One thing about this race is we all know what's going to happen in this race, because they're going to go bonkers, aren't they?
Yeah.
With Quinn Alton audience and 10 Bob Tony likes to race up the pace. So we know it's going to be a strongly run 7 furlongs. I think that will be perfect for Shadow of Light. Would I back him at 13 to 8? Probably not. But I do think he's got a very good chance. 10 Bob Tony, I agree with you. I think he's dangerous, as is Room Service a bit. But I'm a little bit worried about whether Room Service is in the form that he's been in the past. He's got the cheap pieces on today, and I've never sort of sat down and thought, oh, Room Service needs any help. But maybe he does. But I don't know. I think it's between... It's boring. I think one of the top two will win. If I was forced to have a bet, I'd probably back 10 Bob Tony like you, but I do think Shadow of Light is very dangerous.
Shadow Light then a 13 to 8 shot here. I'm just looking back. You don't get many horses who are actually as good as Shadow of Light running in this race. Just going back, the last time we had a horse rated as highly as Shadow of Light was 15 years ago, and it was Premio Loco, trained by Chris Wall, George Baker, finished second, older horse, plenty of globe-trotting form, so a completely different profile to Shadow of Light, who could be different gravy.
I think it's giving major Wichita vibes. I think this has the Wichita race all over it. They're almost identical. Look, group winner at 2, mm-hmm. Place in the 2,000 guineas, run in different countries to try and get that group one win, doesn't work out, drops in class. Now, Wichita did only win by a nose, but he did win. Yeah. I think Shadow of Light is better than Wichita. I don't think that's a crazy statement to make. I think he just wins. I really do. I think there's a lot of very shrewd, intelligent people, far smarter than me, which will try and find a way to get this thing beaten. But if they go the way we think this is going to go, they're going to go miles off in front. Yeah. 10 Bob Tony's going to be up there because he can't help it. They're going to get tired laid on. The Shadow of Light's going to come through. I do think Room Service is a danger. Mm-hmm. He loves the track, been there twice, won there twice. Will relish this really quick pace and then falling back into his lap. Yeah. The only concern is that run in a Group 2 in Ireland was awful. Last time. And I know it was a good Group 2. The winner's gone on to win a Group 1 since. But it was a really concerning run that he couldn't pick up any of them. It really looked quite laboured. And that would be a concern for me. But he'll love a bit of giving the ground. He will really enjoy coming back to Doncaster. And on top of that, he'll get the ideal race conditions to suit him. I just think Shadow of Light is too good.
Yeah, I mean, you might well be right. You made a very good case for it, to be fair. And you're right. And you say Wichita only won narrowly, but did beat one master in second, who then went and won the foray next time out. So,
and the two of them were a mile clear of everything else. But again, he was getting the weight as well. Shadow of Light's getting weight from this lot.
Yeah,
That's the other thing. They're giving the poor boy.
Callum, I was going to lay him, but you've made a really good case, to be fair. But I mean, to be fair, I'm just going to back 10 Bob Tony. And remember, I've tipped him,
so he's guaranteed to lose. I need to make that very clear. Shadow Black's got the Callum Kith of death now, but I am really confident about him here.
I've not worked with you before, Callum. I don't know you well enough to know whether that's false modesty or not. So we'll see. Yeah, to be fair, Shadow, I mean, this is just an easier race. And I do think, the 7 furlong Group 2 races, because a lot of these horses are just trying it, or they've lost their way, or they don't quite know where they fit. But I do think it is a bit of a top-heavy market, but I think it probably should be. The thing is, I do really like 10 Bob Tony. I mean, his record fresh is win, second, win. The second, he probably should have beat Top Gear in France as well. So he should be unbeaten after
Top Gear was no slouch either. Let's remember, Top Gear went and won a Group 3, I think, at Newmarket by half the track. He goes well fresh, and that's a danger. But I think what we've seen with the City of York is that these 7 furlong group races are going to be cracking, because they're just going to be entertaining, because you've got the likes of Quinault and audience in there. They're going to be properly run races. It's not a matter whether you stay or not. Look at Moore Sunday. You wouldn't call him a stay. I know he's got stamina in his old back form, but you're going to need a little of ability to kind of reel in these really good horses. So I do think that's when the likes of keep banging the drum. I think Shadow of Light's got that bit of ability. I'm really hoping it comes through for him. He needs to come back to form, because he's been quite disappointing, really.
No, but you're right. And we do have a tendency on this show, and a lot of people do, Tom, to constantly want to get the favourite beat. And, you know, if you always do that, you're going to come out on the wrong side quite often.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like Callum made loads of good points there. I mean, just don't want to bet in the race, because Shadow of Light is such a valid favorite. I don't understand betting markets. We've been through this many times, Ross. I have no idea what price it'll start, but on what we know to date, he's got a very good chance of winning. So I don't really want to be taking, I'm not sure this, for example, I'm not sure the 7-1 about room service beating in-form Shadow of Light is a good bet. It might be 5 minutes before the off when Shadow of Light's 4-1. Do you know what I mean? But at the moment, I don't think so.
Yeah, fair enough. On the chat, King's Gamble's put you on exposed as long as its ground isn't soft. It's not going to be that bad, is it, by the looks of things? And Destiny Sound says, room service is 2-2 at Doncaster, needs easing the ground. The only danger to 10 Bob Tony. Charlie Appleby's still trying to work out Shadow of Light's distance. Zoom Zoom each way as well. To be fair, this might be Shadow of Light's distance, but I don't think anyone... The problem is, no one really wants a 7-furlong horse, do they?
Quick line on Zabil Al-Kabir. Random of all entries you'll ever see. James Tate has absolutely put his cojones on the table here and says, we bolted up in a Lingfield maiden. And I was there that day, and just there on a jolly, wasn't even working, but he screamed his way around the parade ring, green as grass, showing off everybody his third leg. He was having a wonderful time in the parade ring. And then he goes and absolutely dots in and did it in really good style. Now, I didn't think they'd come here next. It was a surprise to me. But yeah, clearly they believe he's got a bit of ability. And the son of Wootton Bassett, he was very impressive at Lingfield.
And to be fair, he is bred to be a group horse. So, okay, right. 3 races to go, and they are group one after group one after group one. So let's go for the final classic of the season, the St. Ledger Stakes. Where Scandinavia is 6-4 favourite, Lamborn is 11-4, Karma's 9-2, Stay True 7-1, Further 11-1, Rahib 22-1, Tarians is 25-1, and what a fascinating lineup we've got this year. Of course, we've got Scandinavia, who dotted up at Newmarket and then went and beat his elders at Goodwood. We've got a dual derby winner. We've got Karma's, who won at Royal Ascot, beating half this field as well. We've got Stay True, who travelled like a dream at York last time out and has clearly been prepped for this race. And we've even got Tarians, who has to majorly step up, of course, on that form at York. But Pendragon didn't do his previous form much harm either earlier on today, Tom. So, fascinating race, albeit, this is arguably an easier task for Scandinavia than Goodwood was.
That's arguable. I'm not sure. I'm not convinced. I'm not a great fan of the Stayers' form. I think Trawlerman's a proper good horse. I think the rest are good, without being exceptional. Beating them is... How good is it? I really don't know, is the answer to that. I think lots of three-year-olds could beat probably those around Goodwood, if truth be told. So I don't know. I mean, I think he's the right favourite because we know he stays. He trained at the race, had a perfect prep into it. But I think you can make cases for everything. I really do. I think this is a cracking little race, even though there's only seven runners. You can make a case for everything. Lambourne's obviously a dual derby winner. Karmas has beaten everything in the race, bar Tarryans. He's run against everything in the race and beaten them. And so he's clearly got a good chance. I like Stay True. I was impressed with him at Lingfield when he was second in the Derby trial. And if you think Lambourne didn't need his run, was going to need the run at the Voltage last time, what about Stay True? Mm. He'd been off since Lingfield. Aidan O'Brien did his own thing, saying he's only just ready to come back, like he's not done anything for 6 months or whatever he'd done. But he ran like it. He was too keen. He was a bit fresh. And then he got tired after looking like the best horse in the race in the Voltage. So I think he's going to take a big step forward. I like him. Further was impressive at Newbury. I'm just a bit worried that, whether, you know, I know he ran very well at Ascot, but his two best runs for me have been at Newbury. I wonder whether that might be a thing. But Doncaster's not dissimilar.
No, it's not. But I know what you mean. I don't know. He's that Newbury form has a little bit of a whiff to me.
Yeah, I agree. Raheem is too big a price on the Ascot form, isn't he? Because he got the least run of the race of the three of them, Farmers, Further and him, and ran on to be third. And Tarryance's form is getting better every time I look at it. I'd be slightly surprised if he won, but he's a very well-bred horse by Frankel, one of Judd Monty's, you know, proper pedigrees, and he's getting better. And I wouldn't be totally surprised if he didn't run a race, but I've been sucked into many Melrose winners over the years, and they've never actually been up to winning a St. Ledger. So I'd be surprised if he won. I think Aidan O'Brien will probably win it. And I think Stay True is the value bet in the race because I think he's, you know, when he ran in the Lingfield race, Callum, you might have been there, I'm not sure. but everyone, the world and his wife said, oh, look, there's the Ledger winner. Did you see him? It was his second ever run or whatever. And he stayed on and he was hitting the line and he was re-rallying and everything looked about him like a proper stayer. Now, clearly his career hasn't gone to plan since because we've only seen him once. But I thought his Vulture run was really quite eye-catching.
Yeah.
You know, he looked the best horse in the race to me. And if that's the case, I think he's going to run big at 7-1. I think I can see him. I could see him improving a lot.
Yeah. Well, again, I mean, yeah, I was there at York and literally, I was talking to David Jennings and he said, well, yeah, I've been, you know, told that both Lambourne and Stay True are essentially just aren't ready for this. And he blew up, didn't he, Stay True? He came there swinging and he didn't quite get home. But yeah, a couple of things. One, oh, there's your Ledger winner. I feel like gets uttered 5, 6, 7 times once every 3 weeks, I think, throughout the summer. But I mean, it's annoying because there's obviously only seven runners here. Surely someone's... Well, there are a couple of bookies are going three places. But I mean, Karmas is an each way thievery to nothing here. But again, he's beat half the field, Karmas. I thought he should have won at York. He's a behind the bridle, has to be kind of coaxed along and kidded kind of horse. Billy Lee is that sort of jockey. Colin Keane isn't that sort of jockey. He's a bit more all action. And he kind of had to wrench him out and he stayed on. I think another 2 furlongs, he'd have won that race. I think he'll relish the gallop. I think he'll relish the track. Paddy Toomey, Billy Lee came back from an injury the other day and rode a double in his first two rides out of nowhere.
Still in the hunt for that champion jockey crown. He'll be needing as much help as he can get, but yeah. It wouldn't be a surprise if he could wrench Brett Dillon Brown McGonagall.
And he came to Royal Ascot, Billy Lee, and I think he rode 5 horses, won on 2 of them, placed on 2 of them. I just think he's absolutely mustard. And Paddy Toomey's absolutely fantastic as well. Never wastes an entry. I think Karmas has got a blinding chance.
Here's the problem with Karmas. He's the unsexiest horse in training. He is completely and utterly unsexy, which is why he's at that price. Because when he wins, he doesn't win well. When he's beaten, he doesn't look good when he's beaten. I know he's hitting the line hard, but he's being chivvied along. And he doesn't look like he's got class. And he might have more ability than all of these, but just on the eye test, he doesn't pass it, and I think that's why he's 9-2. He'd won that Great Voltager, I don't think he'd be favourite for this. Because he's a real tough horse to watch. Like you have to really sit back and pray when he gets going.
He wouldn't be the first. There's been a few of them win a Ledger, though.
It's arguably a kind of similar horse. Yeah, like a bit like, oh, you got to kind of lift it to go. Now I think he's got a bit more quality about him, but Karmas for me is just distinctly unlikable. Call me boring, but I think Scandinavia absolutely dots up in this.
You're boring, Callum.
Very, very. The concern is that he's drifted all around because everyone else is trying to find things to beat him, which like. Now around 2-1 in place. I think you've got 6-4 on your screen. I've got 2-1 in front of me now. Stay True, as Tom has said, he's the most exciting horse in the race. But he got beat by Puppet Master. Yeah. He's a bit of a donkey. Like, let's not get it twisted. Like, it went to a Lingfield Derby trial. I wasn't actually at Lingfield that day. I was doing the meeting beforehand where they were really concerned that they weren't going to get the ground. So well done to Lingfield for getting that turf track up and running. But for me, I do think Stay True needs to take a big step up. But there's a story. He's Galileo's final classic runner. And it wouldn't
it's the
be
headline.
The biggest shock in the world if Galileo's final classic runner was a winner and had been laid out for this. And it's very hard to say laid out for a classic, but he's a big, strong boy.
Well, no, but he's got the profile, hasn't he? Given the experience, have the summer off. He's the opposite of Lambourne. You know, yeah. Lambourne's peaked in the summer. This is, you know, he's going to have to come back again.
We've not mentioned a dual derby winner. This is a really good race. I do have to give it credit that a month ago, the St. Ledger looked really... When Karma's won at Ascot, the talk was, oh my goodness, the St. Ledger is going to be really disappointing this year if this is what we've got going. And then since then, Scandinavia bolted up at Newmarket and then beat the Stayers. Lambourne's gone on two derbies. Stay True looked very good in the Great Voltigeur, and everything in that Ascot race is now coming back to take each other on again. I can't find a fault with anything in here, but Scandinavia, I think, just has... That run at Newmarket for me was so impressive.
Yeah. What I liked about Newmarket as well is that he went through sort of two sets of gears. You know, he went and then he kept going.
Yeah.
And I mean, to be fair, I remember we did a show that night for the July Festival and we said, crikey, again, there's your Ledger winner, Tom. So we've said it so many times. I think, like I said, the only one I don't fancy in here is Further. I don't think he's quite up to the grade, but I do think, you know, the front four. If the front four are in contention, 2 furlongs out, I think we've got a great race, haven't we?
It'll be a corker. And then Karmas will probably win because they'll out-tough them.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. But he is, you know, you do go down the roll call of Ledger winners. And Jan Brugel's tough to watch. Continuous is now a pacemaker. Eldarov left it about as late as, you know, equinely possible. You know, you're going back...
Sexy horses don't win Ledgers.
They don't, because it's not a sexy race, is it? It's not a sexy race, unless you get the Tricast up, in which case it might be quite sexy. But I'm going to go for Karmas. Tom?
Yeah, I'm going for Stay True, Ross. I'm a little bit different from Callum. I thought, he's finished a short head behind Karmas, hasn't he, last time? So I don't think he's got as much to find as you might have made out. But I get the Scandinavia loving, because, listen, if he's in front 2 furlongs for out... It's going to be hard to get past him, isn't it?
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. And Stay True for Paul Stokes in capital letters. We'll watch for John Lambourne to go to a juicy price, says John O'Flaherty.
He's not crazy, John. I think that makes a lot of sense. If he continues to drift out, if he gets like out to fours,
but he's going to have
all
to
of
just,
a sudden, like
he's going to have to just. I don't like horses, you know. Peaking and then
refine that format,
peaking again. So, but anyway, look, a couple of Group 1s over at Leopardstown to look at. We've got the Matron Stakes, Group 1 for fillies and mares here. Fallen Angel 2-1, January 9-4, Sasene is 7-2. Those three take a lot out of the market here. 12-1 Vera's Secret, exactly, is 12-1, 16-1 Cathedral, and 25-1 on Bigger the Rest. One of the features of the weekend on a couple of absolutely insane cards in Ireland. Tom, again, the kind of cards that start to give me a bit of a headache as I start to go through them. But look, Fallen Angel is one of those horses who doesn't quite get the credit she deserves. She's a rock solid favourite, and there's not many solid alternatives up against her. Cheap Piece is on for the first time in January, which means I can bring out the stat again. First time.
Here he comes.
First time Cheap Piece is in Group 1s. Shocking record, apart from one race, the only race. The last 15 years, and it's the Matron Stakes. 2 winners in first-time Cheap Pieces. The only race of Group 1 quality. So, that doesn't make me...
Fallen Angel have first-time Cheap Pieces on last time? I know it's in France, sorry. It's in, yeah.
No, she rode up, she wore them at Ascot.
Oh, there you go, that'd be one.
But yeah, literally only two horses, I can't quite remember what they are off the top of my head, but it is this race.
That was me trying to throw you that curveball we mentioned.
Yeah. I knocked it right back. So there you go. What curveballs you got up your sleeve then, Tom? What do you like at the Matron?
I think Fallen Angel wins myself. I think the ground's come right, the track's perfect, well drawn. Just think she's really good. When she's on her A game, she's really hard to get past. I thought she was excellent at Deauville last time when conditions probably weren't quite in her favour as they are this time. January, she's a traveller of all travelling things, isn't she? But she just doesn't knuckle down. She doesn't like get deep and dirty. She'll have to go past on the bridle. I don't think she'll be able to do it on this ground. And I mean, Sassenny's in there as well, obviously, on the Ascot form. I just think Fallen Angel's a bit better than them, to be honest. And I think she'll win. I think she's going to step up again on the Deauville run is why I think she'll... I don't fancy any of the others.
What do we think in Leopardstown-wise? Because, again, it can be one of... Sometimes you get Leopardstown meetings, especially when it's soft, where they really struggle to get to the leaders. Luckily, this is the fifth race on the card, so you can kind of get a vibe early on. But there are some meetings at Leopardstown where they just stick to that rail and they just keep grinding.
Yeah, it'll probably get messy, won't it? Because the ground's very soft, had a lot of rain. Yes, it can be. It can be a great front runner's track. It's a weird one, Leopardstown, because at the start of the season when it's soft, it's hard to make up ground. And then you watch loads of sort of big handicaps come the end of the season and on good ground and they're whipping around the outside and coming up the outside. But I'm with you. I think in this type of ground, on this type of day, I think it'll be hard to come from a long way back, and therefore I think Fallen Angel will win. Although she will get there's a lot of pace in there. Vera's Secret's an out-and-out front runner. Sparks Fly is an out-and-out front runner. So there's plenty of pace on in there. But I think, is it Danny Tudhope or James Doyle? Is it James Doyle?
James Doyle. Yeah.
Maybe that's a slight negative because she seems to go very well for Danny Tudhope. And Carlberg has an excellent record at this meeting. Always has a winner. So I think she'll win, but she's not one.
Fair enough. Yeah. To be fair, she's won three Group 1s and they've all been under Danny Tudhope. So yeah, James Doyle does have to go and do something new. Again, you said about Sparks Fly, there's only two horses in here who've won races on very soft ground, and they are Sparks Fly and Exactly, who might well
California
be...
California Dream will go hard.
Yeah.
Give it a bit more pace as well.
In theory, again, it's one of the races that... And I hate it because races aren't run on paper. But on paper... It should be a good gallop.
It should be a good gallop, which will set up beautifully for the travelly of all travelly things in January.
Yeah.
First time cheap pieces, here we go.
Yeah.
This is it. This is what we've been waiting for. We've tried and we've tried and we've tried without cheap pieces, and now we're going cheap pieces on first time in the Matron. Your stats are coming out now. I think she's really good. I thought that run at France was so good, and no one really gives her credit. She beat her group by a mile. Mm. She's had to come across and find Fallen Angel. Fallen Angel is tough as teak. We know she is not tough. That is one thing she hasn't got. Mm. But on this occasion, I do believe that they'll be right up the chuff of Fallen Angel. They'll be so desperate to just sit in and hope that you can get alongside her and travel on by her. And hopefully the cheek pieces might just bring out some improvement. I say it all the time in Class 6 handicaps.
Yeah. So,
why can't... They're all horses. They've all got four legs.
Yeah.
Why can't it be the same in a Group 1?
Okay? Well, because, again, you were saying about the quality thing. It's just that it's... But, like I said, fillies and mares, maybe slightly different in this kind of contest. The other thing that she has to answer slightly is... You know, it's a bit of a baptism of fire for Mr. Soumillon, isn't it?
Yes,
who's, you know, it's incredibly experienced, but is suddenly finding... Younger legs out riding him.
He's an interesting choice, isn't he? Because Aidan O'Brien was very quick to say that Christoph will be doing most of the riding. You've got Mikael Barcelona here in Doncaster as well, so they're clearly happy to go to France. But I would have thought there were better options closer to home, personally, who know the circuits. And I obviously know everyone has agreements here, there and everywhere, but it's...
It's one eye on Longchamp as well in a few weeks as well. But he's ridden Los Angeles, Omri Matisse, Whirl, Swagman, Amelia Earhart today, Mission Central, Fresca Baldi, Brussels, Sugar Island, all well-fancied horses. And, you know, most of them are unplaced, line winning.
They've not even got close, they've run bad. I mean, well, goodness gracious me, that was horrific.
Comfortably beaten. So it's an interesting time, isn't it? It's been an interesting season for jockeys, that's for sure. Okay, so you're with January on the first down cheap pieces.
Yes.
Tom thinks Fallen Angel will win, but won't back her at that price. And as for the chat, exactly Sparks Fly reverse forecast it is there. Lovely stuff. Yeah. Horses for courses, horses for conditions. Right, the Irish Champion Stakes, 10 furlongs the distance for this Group 1 contest. And an interesting race, albeit would it be nice if the Gosdens had given us another go at Delacroix versus Ombudsman. But we do have Delacroix versus, we've got the old boy in Ann Mart at 7-2. We've got Soft Ground Specialist White Birch at 11-2. We've got the new boy, Zaran, at 7-1. We've got a Japanese horse in Shim Emperor who should have, would have, could have won this last year. Hot as hell. Remember him?
He loves some cutting the ground.
Yeah.
Love this time of year.
He beat Delacroix last year in Bad Ground, of course, as well. And Jessica Harrington's had a few winners the past few days. Royal Champion came out of nowhere last time out at York. And even Mount Kilimanjaro, when I was at York, was apparently the one they were all backing at in the Voltiger. Not that that went on particularly well. But again, I really want to take Delacroix on.
Well, go on then, Ross. Do it. Go on.
But he's...
Be a man.
Tell us about the war, Grandad. Tell us about the men in the war.
Back in my day, we wouldn't be backing 64 shots in Group 1s. Fair. Look.
Be a man. That's brutal.
Fair.
That's the curveball.
You just come in here and say that to my face. Like. Now, Delacroix. But the problem is, right, you've got a seven-year-old in Denmark. The soft ground is going to help him. But I can't be backing seven-year-olds in Champion Stakes. White Birch, the Dylan Brown McMonagall factor might well tip me in his direction, to be fair, because he's been absolutely mustered this season as well. Zaran, I love him, but it's a big step up. Shin Emperor should have won this last year, but it's completely different conditions for him. And I don't think the rest are good enough. So, I don't know. I'm being a mouse, Tom. I'm being a mouse.
Go on, back Zaran. You know you want to.
I mean, I do kind of want to. He's tough, isn't he? He is tough.
Yeah, I like him. Knight of Thunder. I'm a bit of a Knight of Thunder groupie. I think he'll love the ground. I think he'll love the conditions. Johnny Murta. He won the Matron Stakes with Billy, I can't remember her name. Champs Elysees. Very similar profile to Zaran. Sort of been running in lower grade. Came up to Group 1 and absolutely dotted up. I think he's going to take off today. I think we're sitting on a big performance, perhaps, from Zaran. I think it's a hard race, for sure, because Delacroix's good, and Mart, I think, is really dangerous. And White Birch, if he's back to his best, he's right in there too. But I do think Zaran's an interesting runner. I mean, I haven't tipped him. I probably will. Well, I'll definitely back him. I just think he's going to run a big race. I just didn't know what price he was going to be. He's one of those that could be. He could really be a 20-1 shot. Do you know what I mean? On form. I don't know how good he is. I mean, the Amalok form probably fancy Amalok in this much, would you? I don't think. And I don't know. But I just thought he's sitting on a big performance and he'd be the one for me against Delacroix. Although I do fear the two old boys and Martin White Birch. I think they're very good and conditions have come right for him.
I tell you what, he's not the worst related each way double though, is it? With Amalok on Sunday in the Irish St. Ledger again. Because I think, you know, I think he'll absolutely love that colour straight Amalok. Yeah. So, 7-1 and what, 130 each way double, maybe Zaran Amalok could be interesting. But you're all over White Birch.
White Birch, for me. We'll have a bit of cut in the ground. Have quality in here. Has only had 12 starts as a five-year-old. I think hard to kind of pin him in the old man category at this moment in time. I just like him here. I think he's got an awful good chance. And I think hot as hell, as an each-way player, look, you've got the runners, you're going to get three places. Mm. He'll love a cut in the ground. That run in America last time, he got an awful passage all the way around, missed the break and was cutting past them late. I don't think that was a bad performance. I can imagine him stepping forward from that with a bit of give. So, White Birch to win and a little each-way player and hot as hell as well.
All right, lovely stuff. Thank you, Callum. And on the chat, White Birch from me as well says, Liam.
What, Liam?
White Birch will smoke these if Keane doesn't mess it up again, says Vincent. And White Birch and hot as hell, says Eden. Only interest bets.
Keane's not riding, so we've got Dylan on board today.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, Colin Keane's a very good jockey, but Dylan Brown Monagle is mustard. Is the future, right?
Mustard, absolute mustard.
Unbelievable stuff. Right, okay, Naps coming up after this. Okay, yeah, right. After we go off air, the European Football Preview Show will be on YouTube and also as an audio podcast as well. Dave Clark, Mark Langdon, James Milton and Nick Goff diving in to the Champions League. The Champions! Impossible not to do that in my brain, so I've said it out loud. And don't forget, if you're in the Racing Post FPL League as well, it comes back tomorrow after the international break. So there you go. Right, Naps on Saturday, starting off with Callum. What's the best bet?
I'm going to get slaughtered for this, but I think January. I really do. I like January. I like the price. I do hope the cheap pieces work first time. I could be made to look very silly, but she is going to be my nap. I think she's got a lovely chance there.
No, don't listen to anyone else, Callum. Stick with your nap. Tom.
Galarod Ross in the first race at Doncaster. Never thought I'd say that. That's some words that I never thought I'd say in my life. Galarod is the nap, but it is.
Yeah, there you go. Horses for courses, of course. And again, for the third time in a row, let's hope 10 Bob Tony. I am. It's always nice to get your bet refunded. It's not always nice not to lose money on a race, isn't it? But I want to see this horse run, and I want to see him do what he did at Haydock, because I thought he was a very good horse on that occasion. So 10 Bob Tony for me. Right, we'll be back tomorrow night for more. We'll be going into Sunday's cards. We've got group races from top to bottom. See you there.